All right, and welcome to July 13th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. And it looks like it's going to be one of those Ford kind of days. 1978. Henry Ford II fires Iacocca. And, as usual, there are three sides to the story. There's Henry's side, there's Lee's sides, and the truth. Lee Iacocca, born in 1924, was vice president of Ford Corp, and he successfully marketed the design and development of the Ford Mustang, which is how he wound up on the covers of Time and Newsweek at the same time in 1964. In Douglas Brinkley's History of Ford, called Wheels for the World, as well as History.com, Ford authorized $1.5 million in company funds for an investigation of Iacocca's business and private life in 1975. Ford was not in great shape and looking to retire and hand the company's steering wheel to his 28-year-old son, Edsel. Iacocca started reading the writing on the wall and tried to gain support among the company's board of directors. According to Walter Hayes' book, Henry, the man who is Henry Ford II, Iacocca attempted to convince board members that Ford was senile and shouldn't be making any more decisions about the company. This gave Ford the excuse he needed to fire him. As Iacocca later wrote in his best-selling autobiography, Ford called Iacocca into his office on July 13th, 1978, and let him go, telling him, "Sometimes you just don't like somebody." Lee Iacocca went on to become president of Chrysler and turned the company from a financial ruin into a glowing success after convincing the federal government to bail it out. Iacocca retired as CEO of Chrysler in 1992. The Battle of Tupelo. According to CivilWar.org, Major General A.J. Smith, commanding a combined force of more than 14,000 men, left LaGrange, Tennessee on July 5, 1864, and advanced south. Smith's mission was to ensure that Major General Nathan B. Forrest and his cavalry did not raid Major General William T. Sherman's railroad lifeline in Middle Tennessee and thereby prevent supplies from reaching him in his campaign against Atlanta. Laying waste to the countryside as he advanced, Smith reached Pontotoc, Mississippi on July 11. Forrest was in nearby Oklahoma with about 6,000 men, but his commander, Lieutenant General Stephen D. Lee, told him he could not attack until he was reinforced. 2 days later, Smith, fearing an ambush, moved east towards Tupelo. On the previous day, Lee arrived near Pontotoc with 2,000 additional men, and under his command, the entire Confederate force engaged Smith. Going back to Ford news, 1942, happy birthday Harrison Ford. See what I did there? My man Harrison, Han Solo, Indiana Jones, etc., etc. Like a boss! And then in 1987, federal judge throws out Bette Midler's $10 million lawsuit against Ford Motor Company. I'm not doing this on purpose. Ford used a Bette Midler sound-alike voice for their TV commercials. The case brought into question if a unique feature, such as a voice, could distinguish someone and thus must be authorized for impersonation. Quick note in football news, 1972, the LA Rams and Baltimore Colts switch owners Robert Irsay and Carol Rosenblum. Another great American-British alliance. The first Live Aid concerts were held at JFK Stadium in Philadelphia and Wembley Stadium in London. Producer Bob Geldof headed the efforts by attracting big-name artists such as The Who, Paul McCartney, David Bowie, Mick Jagger, Queen, Bryan Adams, Tina Turner, The Cars, Hall & Oates, Phil Collins, and Lionel Richie. The performances were shown live via satellite for 18 consecutive hours and helped raise millions of dollars for starving people in Ethiopia. And stay tuned for tomorrow's episode and more Ford news. We will wish a happy birthday to former President Gerald Ford. But for now, that's it for July 13th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Thanks for listening. We make a better day, just you and me.
just lend a helping hand. We are the world. We are the children.
We are the one to make a brighter day. So let's start giving.